A reading from Psalms 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from seeking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. A reading from Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Ryan, it's good to be with you again. I'm happy to be up here this morning and to be able to share with you in this way this morning. I feel a little bit out of place because when I'm preaching these days, usually everybody's in camouflage, so I can't really tell how many people are there. You're all pretty distinct this morning, so I have a good count. But yeah, and I usually have a pulpit up here to hang on to and to hide my feet when I get scared, so you might see me tap dancing a little if I get nervous, but I'll try to avoid that this morning. Would you please pray with me? Gracious God, may your word be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path this day and forevermore. Amen. So I love folk music, I love spirituals, I love those songs that teach us something in our core. And this morning, This Little Light of Mine is one of my favorite Sunday school songs, folk songs, traditional spiritual songs. You know, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So that was one of my favorite songs growing up in Sunday school. I remember being the kid that would, you know, hold that light up to shine, especially under the next verses. I loved acting out the motions, you know, don't let Satan, and I would blow really hard on my finger, or hide it under a bushel and just yell, no! Like, I wanted to be the kid up on, you know, when the junior choir come up, that I'd just, like, be the one yelling, no! Like, I love that song. And I think it teaches us some of those fundamental truths that we tend to grasp when we're younger, but we lose them a little older. There was an author that said our faith is kind of like a glass, that when you fill it, it's easier when we're young to fill it and have it overflowing. But as we grow, the cup grows with us, and it gets harder and harder to fill as we mature, as we grow up in our faith. And I think that's true. And sometimes when I'm going around, when I get a little distracted, when I feel like things aren't going well, I feel my light, it seems like it tends to flicker or fizzle or even sometimes go out. And I think that, you know, as Jesus puts it, sometimes we just tend to lose our saltiness. We tend to be desalinized Christians. And I'm like, why do we have desalinized Christians out there? Why do we have Christians that aren't the salt of the earth, the light of the world that Jesus talks about? Because this desalinization, the process of taking salt out of water, is a good thing. It makes water potable. You can drink it. You can use it for other. It makes salt water fresh water. So in water, it's good, but in people, it's bad. So I was looking at the process. There's three commercial processes of desalinization, of taking salt out of water. And they have a lot to do with water, and they have a lot to do with us as well, how the salt is taken out of our lives. So the first way that they take salt out of water is they add chemicals. You have salt water, you pour in chemicals, it latches on to the salt molecules, and it brings them to the bottom. So you have fresh water on top, you have the salt and the chemicals at the bottom. So chemicals are a big part of our culture and our society now, too. Brené Brown says, "We are the most in debt, addicted, Medicaid, and overweight adult cohort in U.S. history." And this has to do with our spirituality as well. Most of these things are numbing things. And she says, when you try to numb the bad, you unfortunately numb the good also. You can't pick what things you numb. There's no selective numbing. You either numb all your feeling or you numb none of your feeling. And our culture, our society, has chosen the path of numbing, of not feeling. And when we don't feel, unfortunately, we can't feel those good things, the joy, the love. We can't feel those things, and we lose our saltiness. So the second way to take salt out of water is through the process of osmosis, to running it through a bunch of filters, sponges, just things that go here and there and latch on to the salt, and out of the bottom you have the fresh water that drips through it. And I see this as the overstimulation in our society. You know, I can pull out my phone at any point of the time, whenever it vibrates, and immediately there's a disconnection between me and whoever I was present with in the room. When there's a screen between you and somebody else, that connection gets lost. So there's these things in society, there's screens everywhere that grab our attention, things that were overbooked, were overscheduled, and we just can't seem to find the time for the good things in life, for the salty things in life, the things that give life flavor. And the last way that they remove salt from water, commercially anyway, is applying heat. So when we lose our cool, when we get angry, that's when we say things that we don't really mean. We hurt others. We're not acting like the light of the world and the salt of the earth that Jesus calls us to be. And sometimes things do get a little dark. Sometimes things get a little saltless. But Jesus tells us to be salt and to be light, right on the heels of the Beatitudes, the Blesseds. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, the mourners, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. So I know when I'm feeling a little saltless, like my light is flickering or has even fizzled out, and I read that list, I feel like I didn't make the list, like I didn't make the cut. And Jesus says, blessed are all these people. So does that mean that I'm not blessed? Does that mean that people who aren't on this list aren't blessed? I'm reading that and I say, of course not. There's good news. The good news is that if there's a desalinization process, there's always a resalinization process. There's a process of getting our salt back, of getting our light back. Because God is the infinite source of light, of love, and of salt. So I think, how do we tap into that? How do we get that energy? How do we regain our saltiness, our light? How do we recharge our batteries to get that back in our life, to be this light, this salt for others? And I think, have you ever, you can insert your favorite food here, but have you ever had that really good piece of steak? Something that's cooked to perfection, it's salted, it's marinated, seared just right, cooked. You can smell it, it's sizzling when it comes out on the plate. If you're a vegetarian, you can add tofu or steamed vegetables or whatever you think is good in there. But it gets your mouth to really salivate. You get to enjoy it, and then you cut into it, and you take a bite, and you savor it, and you enjoy it, and you want it to last longer. It's like a little piece of heaven in your mouth. And you get to wondering, how did they make it taste this good? Well, one way to find out is to ask the chef, ask whoever cooked it, your friend, your spouse, your mom, ask whoever cooked it for the recipe. What is the recipe? How did you make this taste so good? Because we want to take that home, we want to recreate that flavor, and we want to make that a part of our lives. So just like there's excellent chefs out there, there are excellent spiritual chefs out there too. There are people who are experiencing the fullness of life. There's a author who says, people can really smell when the church is being the church and they want to be a part of it. So when people have that fullness of life, you can really smell what they're doing. You can say, I want what they have. I want to be a part of what they're doing. And how do we tap into that? The same way we tap in to the chefs. We ask them for their recipe. Hey, what are you doing in your life? What makes you so joyful? What makes you overflowing with love? How are you so compassionate towards these people? And we can hear their recipes. They're usually really willing to share. And we could take them home and use them for ways that work for us. Because there's spiritual chefs in our lives. And the scripture, the psalm this morning says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we have these ways of finding our recipes, finding what works for us and what works for others. And things can inspire us too. There's other ways to tap into this infinite source. Girl Scout cookies are going on right now. They're wrapping up. They're selling out their Thin Mints. I'm trying to get some still, but I just haven't made it out. But it reminds me of how scouting started in America. W.D. Boyce was a reporter in 1908. He was over in London doing a story. He was an American over in London. And it was one of those mythical mornings in London where the fog was so thick you could cut it with a knife. You could barely see your hand in front of your face. And he was lost. The fog just disoriented him. He couldn't figure out where he was going. And then this unknown scout appeared out of nowhere. And he said, you look lost, mister. Can I help you find where you're going? Can I take you to where you need to be? And he said, of course, thank you so much. And the scout escorted him to his location. And Boyce tried to tip the scout and thank him for his service. But he said, no, that's okay, mister. I'm doing my good turn daily. And this inspired W.D. Boyce so much that 4 months later, he brought the story back to America. He interviewed scouting's head there in London, General Powell, and he brought it back to America 4 months later and started the Boy Scouts of America with the motto, to do a good turn daily. Now, they say, James, the author James, the epistle James in the Bible says, I by my works will show you my faith. So to get this salt back, to get this light back, sometimes it requires a little bit of work. It requires us to get out there, to be vulnerable, to do those things that God calls us to do, to help others, as the kids were telling us this morning, where we can. There's another author who says, one random act of kindness does not make you a kind person, but a pattern of kind behavior makes you a kind person. And likewise, one Christian act does not make you a Christian, but a pattern of Christian behavior makes you a Christian. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was another inspiration, he was a Lutheran pastor during World War II, and he worked to try to take down Hitler's regime. He said, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin and more about courageously and actively doing God's will. Again, he said, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. So it's being out there. It's being with others. It's helping people in their situations. It's those little things, that pattern of little kind behavior that helps us get our salt back. So Jesus tells us to go and be light and be salt to the world. And it's amazing the possibilities that present themselves when you ask God in little prayers, God, how can I be light in this situation? God, how can I be love in this situation? God, how can I be salt to everyone around me? Because you can be that helping hand. You can be that positive voice, that compliment that gets a coworker through the day, or that unknown scout who sparks a movement. So Jesus goes out and he says, be light, be salt, be love, and let your light shine in a world that so desperately needs it. So again, we can sing, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen.
Please stand as you are able as we sing together hymn number 480, I Love to Tell the Story.